is Ryan Yearson.
May it please the court, counsel, Dan Hansenmeyer on behalf of Ronald Reinerson. This is a...
How did you pronounce that?
I don't know. Reinerson? I said Reinerson. I don't know.
Okay, yes.
Reinerson, maybe? This is a good case to follow on the heels of Roy Baker, I believe, because Mr. Hartzler just got done telling this court how payment conditions don't matter and these treatment programs don't matter, and then you have a guy like this who can't even pay to go to treatment, doesn't even have the gas money to get there, and then what does probation do? Probation asks him to consent to 6 months of community confinement so that he can participate in this treatment program. And so he's essentially locked up for 6 months in Peoria at this community place. His family is, you know, out 20, 25 miles outside of Peoria. His wife just ups and leaves him, takes their child with her, goes to Wisconsin. The guy's life is just, I don't know, devastated, I guess. Has no, you know, he's... His family just left him because he has to do this community confinement in order to participate in sex offender treatment. So the idea that these payment conditions and that these treatment conditions don't matter to an individual is simply not true. And this case is a perfect example of why that's so. Beyond that, I think this is an easy case. This case was the judge sentenced this man after Goodwin was decided. Goodwin is explicit that you have to give a reason if you're going to do these things. The judge gave absolutely no reason at all. So to affirm the condition in this case and say that there was no procedural error, I would think you would have to overrule Goodwin.
Has Judge McDade left the bench completely, or is he on senior status?
He is on senior status.
Okay.
Now, beyond the procedural aspect, we made a substantive challenge to it. Would you have to, that is something you don't have to address if you don't want to.
That again.
I would think that is an issue you would not have to address if you did not want to, in light of the procedural error. The remedy in this case could be as simple as it was in Goodwin. You did not give an explanation. You are required to give an explanation. We're vacating the sentence and remanding, and we'll see what happens on remand. That is probably appropriate here, although obviously if you want to vacate the condition, I'm fine with that too. There are a few things that happened below that are odd. One was the use of the polygraph test, where there's concerns with that. There's concerns that even if in a criminal case in general, polygraph evidence is okay, whether it's okay in this context where polygraph test was given during treatment. There's a Ninth Circuit case we cited that just said that is actually improper. So there's issues there.
Improper to give the test or improper to rely upon a result?
Right, improper to use it to revoke someone. It's improper to use it to punish someone. So the idea is if you give a polygraph test, you know, as treatment, should that test then be used against you to punish you? And the Ninth Circuit has said no.
Well, isn't the more salient fact here they used the polygraph test, but it was his comment after he was told he flunked the test about possible abuse of his son that was more troubling? And at least some evidence that the judge, in exercise of his discretion, could consider on whether or not to put him back into a sex treatment program.
Well, the comment was, I may or may not have. That is completely unhelpful, in my opinion. To say I may or may not have done something says nothing at all. And beyond that, if that was a concern, one, why did probation continue to let him live with his son? Not only his son, but other minor children. And beyond that, why was there not... If that's the reason for this, then why didn't the district court say it?
Well, I agree with you. There were no statements about the about this, and it was, I don't know if it was pre-Goodwin or right around when Goodwin came out, but
right.
I don't know if the judge had the benefit of the Goodwin decision when he...
He did. We actually attached a copy.
But it was just decided, I think. It was not a, it certainly wasn't well known at that point.
Correct. I agree with that.
But there was more than just the polygraph test. Didn't the probation officer testify that the defendant admitted that, quote, he knows his risks. Unless he engages in the treatment process, those risks will go uncontrolled?
I think that was the testimony, yes.
Wouldn't that, in the exercise of the discretion of the judge, allow him to reimpose? And again, we're talking about what he can do in the future if this
right.
goes back to allow him to resentence. But wouldn't that by itself, an offender saying, I know my risks and they're going to go uncontrolled unless I get treatment, wouldn't that allow the judge in his discretion to impose that treatment?
Well, I would say, again, there are many, many arguments as to why sex offender treatment should not be imposed in a SORNA case, based on the statutory language, based on the language in the applicable policy statement. If we get beyond that, then and it is permissible to do so in this type of case, then, again, the question arises, whether these types of sort of non-criminal incidents, the one we just talked about in Baker, where there was no charges, and this, where you're relying on a statement, whether that's enough. And I think there are legal arguments that you don't get there in this case. If you do get there in this case, it is not having a difficult time because these are issues that weren't briefed, and I don't want to say something. I agree with your general point, yes, that it is relevant, that there's some relevance to the analysis. I'd rather not go anywhere any further than that. But again, there would need to be a finding. The district court would have to make a finding that, yes, I find the probation officer's testimony credible, and I'm relying on that to impose the condition. None of that happened here, and that's problematic under Goodwin.
Thank you. Mr. Hartzler.
So noteworthy is the fact that this is the first case on Hansmeier-Hartzler Day that the government hasn't conceded error in some respect. On the other hand, I think that it's clear from our brief that we concede that this wasn't a gigantic explanation. The context that we refer to, and I hope this court will consider, is that unlike any of the other cases, this is a revocation of supervised release of a defendant who is already on sex offender treatment program and is not successful in that program. So the question really was for the judge, well, should I continue that program, and the evidence is was completely unsuccessful, why would the judge consider now placing him back on supervised release and not continuing that program that he's never successfully completed?
Well, could the judge have put him back in that program but have him not pay for it? He was having to pay for it, wasn't he?
He wasn't paying for it. He didn't pay for anything. He's
well, I mean, he had to get there and...
Well, I do think that the problem is he couldn't even afford gas. There's no question that he was sort of beyond indigent. If he couldn't even drive, and that's why he went into the community confinement. But I also think you can discern from the background of this particular defendant that he's got a problem. This is somebody that ought to be receiving sex offender treatment for sure. So what conditions can the court and probation office impose or require to make sure that he receives the treatment that he needs? This is a high-risk individual, and if he can't afford the gas, I don't think we're going to have the probation officer, you know, drive him, escort him, chauffeur him to the treatment center. But I realize that's a problem. I don't think you should overstate when the judge says, and you should pay for it. It's just not being enforced. It's just all theoretical. Somebody wins the lottery or something of that sort. I recognize, and I once again am conceding, that it probably should be explicit that they would only pay if capable of paying.
Oh, my.
But here's what you could do for this case. Affirm this one. And, no, you could give a very, very limited remand with the direction that the order be amended to include the statement that he should pay only if determined that he's capable of paying. He's financially able to pay. This court's done that in a number of cases. I can't recall if we cite them here, but in some of the other cases where a limited remand with just an instruction to the judge how to amend the order. There's no need for resentencing.
Amend the order to give explicit explanation of the court's rationale. Is that what you're saying?
No. Of the payment. No, only of the payment provision. No, I think it's obvious what was going on here. This was unlike the other cases. The supervised release case, revocation of supervised release for a defendant that's already on sex offender treatment. What would the judge terminate that after the guy has violated his terms of supervised release? So our position is that that's obvious and that condition ought to be affirmed. I'm just trying to address your concern in both this case and the previous case about what appears to be an unambiguous order that the defendant has to pay, and particularly in this case where he supposedly couldn't even pay for gas to get to the treatment program. No further questions. Thank you again.
Oh, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Final word?
Always.
Always.
He did that on purpose. I lost my train of thought. On the sex offender treatment, when you think about it, this could have been Goodwin. This, you know, Goodwin could have been Reinerson had we made the objection in Reinerson. Because Reinerson was a SORNA offense. Should he have ever been placed on sex offender treatment is a really good question. His conduct is very similar to Goodwin in that the offense was stale and he had no other sex offenses in the meantime. So on that point, it seems a bit odd to say we're going to punish you for a treatment program that maybe you shouldn't even have, we wouldn't even have imposed had we known what this court said in Goodwin.
What was the 2002 conviction about?
No idea.
The contributing to a delinquency of a minor?
I have no idea.
We don't
There's
know if that was a
record.
Sex-based offense?
No. I would imagine it's not. I don't know what the penalty was for it, but I don't think it was. I would highly doubt that it
he
had
got
anything.
A prison term of some kind.
Right. So the government never mentioned that at all. And then again, look, there was no explanation. The law is not whether it's obvious. The law is whether the court gave an adequate explanation. Bottom line, we would dispute it's obvious, especially when there are no findings made. And on that basis, we would ask the court to vacate the commission. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement, and thanks. Thank you, both of you. Have